Hey there, and welcome to King Crush Thursday. This is the place where we're redefining the stories we hear about Black men, one amazing guest at a time. In each episode, we ask the same six questions, but trust me, no two answers are ever alike. Each conversation opens up a whole new world of experiences and insights. So grab your headphones and get ready to join us on this exciting journey. Let's dive right in with your host, Val Gay. Hi, and welcome to another edition of King Crush Thursdays, the series where we highlight and uplift Black men, because frankly, not too many people are doing it. My name is Val Gay, and I am so excited to bring to you this amazing brother today. This king is a husband and a father and a pastor. He started a nonprofit. He's a community leader. He has a passion for young people in the community, all of the community, and he happens to be my pastor. So please help me welcome Pastor Dr. Damon Jones. He's also an educator. Dr. Damon Jones. Hi, Pastor Jones. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so grateful for you. So Dr. Jones, we talked about briefly what this is about. We are building a repository of six questions and 100 answers from 100 different Black men. And the goal is for perhaps one day, a young king who may or may not have positive male role models in his life to come to this repository and see these questions and perhaps find guidance and encouragement in these answers. And so I'm so glad that you're a part of this narrative. This narrative is important to me because you're actually one of the first people to turn me on to this, I have to say, that we go so much overlooked, that our Black men, the Black men in our community, are often overlooked, undervalued, devalued, and that this is an opportunity for us to hear from this group that whose voice is not often heard, or we only see a microcosm of the community in the growth, in the larger media. So this is why we're here, and I'm going to get started with the first question, which is, what does manhood mean to you?
That is a great question. Manhood to me has a lot to do with who a man actually is in terms of his makeup, his background, his passions, his desires, his goals, all of those things kind of mixed up into one. If I had to narrow it down, it would probably, for me, the most important components would probably be protectors and providers. One of the things I think our community desperately needs, and you know, is those who will protect and those who will provide. We have a lot of vulnerable people in our society, particularly in our community, and more specifically in the African American community, whether that be our women or whether it be our seniors or be our children and youth. So I think we are responsible to be the protectors of our society in any number of ways for a family. But then there's also providing emotional support, providing comfort. But, you know, there's just so many ways you can look at provision for other people. For me, the thing that undergirds all is the concept that we are not only to protect and provide for those who may have our DNA or have our own last name. But I'm a big proponent of the proverb, the African proverb that says it takes a village. And so I think we're all responsible to kind of watch out for each other in our village, in our community. And I think that's, I think ultimately that's what manhood is all about.
Got it. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you. So just so you know, you're a little garbled every now and then. It's probably because of the rain. And, you know, to all you out there, you know, he's driving hands-free, you know, he's being safe. But so just so you know, and I will, if it gets too garbled, I'll ask the question again. But so that brings us to question two, which is, who and or what is important to you?
Wow, that's big. Let's start with who's important to me. My wife, my children, I have four children, and my extended family would all top the list. That also, as it branches out, it includes my church family, which is, you know, my God-given assignment. And so the Bible Way family is very important to me. And then it continues to branch out from there. Friends, you know, there's, for me, there's also coworkers. And then there's also even a broader community. I'm really passionate about individuals who are incarcerated, particularly juveniles. I'm concerned about everyone who's incarcerated, but most people that know me know that the youthful offenders are my real passion. And so they're all important to me. And then just the broader community, our people as a people are very important to me. So those things, if you ask me what things are important to me, that would be, our community is important to me. And I'm not sure how you mean things. So I'm just going to throw some things out, I guess.
Whatever you mean.
education is important to me. The economy is important to me. You know, things like that, that kind of provide the scaffolding for a decent society. I think mentors and people who just generally care for other people, that's important to me. You know, I stay along the lines of community because I think, you know, we all come from a family community, but then we come out of that family community and we live in the broader community. And I think the more we help to transform our society and our community into what it should be, which is a nurturing kind of a atmosphere, I think the better off we are. So all of those things that we need in our community for the betterment of our people and the betterment of our children, those are things that are really important to me.
Got it. Awesome. Excellent. Thank you. So Dr. Jones, that brings us to the question three, which is, how do you want us to see you?
Wow. I guess as the exact way that you introduced me, I am first a believer. And so I want people to know that about me, that I am saved. I do believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I am also a husband, you know, and I'm love my wife, Dr. Melissa Jones. We've been married nearly 30 years now. And my four children, Aaliyah, Damon Jr., Alyssa, and Dominic. I want to be known as their father. Those are all at the very top of the list. And, you know, then I am a pastor and community leader and all the other civic things that I tend to get involved in that are related to the criminal justice system and fighting for the rights of our people. At the end of the day, I just want to be known as a person who is living and breathing and who gives an who has been given an opportunity by God to make an impact, you know, wherever I tend to be. And that includes within my own family, but it also includes the prison system, our community, our church, other churches, that kind of thing. So that's who I want people to see me as.
Got it. Awesome. Excellent. So Dr. Jones, question four is, what is your epic dream?
Okay. well, I don't get a chance to talk about that very often, so I'm just going to throw some things on the wall. All right. If this is the way I normally frame it, if money was no object, what would I want to do? Now, I'm going to take that question as broad as you gave it to me. I mean, because there's really two sections to it. One, what would I want for me, but then what would I do with it for others? So the first part, if I take myself first, I would love to wake up in the morning, my wife and I, and really not have to worry about much. I would like to, you know, I think we all dream of that easy life where you just, if you want to go somewhere, you have a driver. You know, if you have your own personal chef, you have people cleaning the house, and you know, all of those things that we've always dreamed about having if we all had, you know, unlimited cash flow. So that would be the one thing. That's my selfish side that I would love to have. It also, if money was no object, I would like to see money put into that money that I could put into, and this really is my big dream. Some kind of a community center that's designed to help young men and potentially young women, but initially young men who just have never been able to get a leg up. You know, what I envision is this huge building that has a full-size gymnasium, that has a fitness center, that has a coffee shop, that has classroom, couple of classrooms that are state-of-the-art with computers, a game room, a barber shop, you know, places where kids can come and not only get their hair cut, but also turn it into a barber academy where you can learn and pick up a skill. You can learn to cut hair, a place where there's other men around who are the keepers of the village that can always be there as a listening ear for a lot of our fatherless boys. I really just feel like if we could repair the males in our society that are broken, we'd be really far ahead of the game in terms of repairing our society as a whole. So my big dream would be to have a place like that where people who come out of jail would have somewhere to go. People, we still have some homeless children and even some runaways, you know, working on unifying people back with their families, counseling services. I mean, a one-stop shop, you know, in this one place in the hood, you know, and I would call it, I guess you all can see it, I would call it the Brotherhood Center, you know. So if money was no object, I would be looking to erect such a building somewhere.
That is awesome. That's an awesome, awesome, awesome dream. Excellent. Yeah. That is absolutely epic. And as you were talking, I was just literally seeing it all come to life in my head. So that's really, really beautiful. And I'm excited about your dream. Really excited. You've been telling us a lot implicitly. You've been answering this question implicitly all along, but I'm going to ask it explicitly, which is Dr. Damon Boykin Jones Sr.,
right?
Who are you?
I am a Christian black man who wants to make an impact for the kingdom of God everywhere. That's, I eat, sleep, drink, and breathe that. I am a product of, I came out of West Philadelphia, and I was educated in the Philadelphia public school system. And I went to church in Southwest Philadelphia. I've only been affiliated with two churches in my 55 years, and that's my home church, where I was born, dedicated, baptized, saved, licensed, and ordained. And now, for the last 28 years, Bible Way Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. Who am I? I'm not even really fully sure how to answer that. I know that who I am is deeply connected to who God wants me to be. And I think based on him calling me and him giving me the desires and passions that I have in terms of, you know, what I like to see done and what he has gifted me to do, really makes up who I am. It's easy to define yourself by the roles that you've been given or the titles that have been bestowed upon you, or, you know, even the, you know, I went to school, so yes, I'm Dr. Damon Jones, but at the end of the day, it's the giftedness that God gives me, because if somebody gives you a gift, they expect you to use it. And if God has gifted me in a particular way, that gifting becomes who I am. And some people might struggle with that, but for me, it's a biblical concept because there's a guy in the Bible named Barnabas, and he's known to be a person who encourages other people. What some people may not know is that his name really wasn't Barnabas. The name Barnabas is really a description of what he does. So the idea is that we become one, or we become synonymous with what God has gifted us to do. So, you know, if somebody said, hey, he's a preacher, that's a badge of honor. That's kind of who I am. He's a father. Yep, I'm a father. He's a husband. Yep, I'm a husband. You know, all of those descriptions are true. He's an educator. He's a mentor. All true. And so I think all of those different aspects kind of conspire and unite to make me who I am.
What a beautiful answer. Thank you. Thank you. That's awesome. That's awesome. Excellent. So here we are at question six already, which is so great, which is there anything that I should have asked you that I didn't, or you wanted me to ask you that I didn't? In other words, what did I miss?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, you hit the areas, and I appreciate your line of questioning, because most people don't ask those kinds of questions. You know, they may ask me how long I've worked with kids, or, you know, things like that. But you don't often get what is the driving force behind why you do what you do. And that might be the only thing. I mean, you know, I grew up with a mother and a father. They were both married, and I lived with them until I got married and moved out of the house. They were married until death did them part. And, you know, because of that, because of being mothered and fathered well, it kind of drives me to provide that not only for my children, but for children that didn't have it. I will never forget. I preached my mother's funeral and my father's funeral. Two of the most difficult things I've ever done in life. And I remember particularly at my father's funeral, as I stood on the pulpit, and his body was, you know, laying just below where I was standing. I remember looking at my father and thinking, you know, I had a fantastic father, not perfect, but a fantastic father. And I wish I could share him with all of the young men that never had a dad. And so part of my life's focus and my drive and my passion is trying to fulfill that. You know, there's something in me that just jumps out and screams and hollers when I encounter or come in contact with a young brother who I know just all he needed was a dad in his life. And that's why I spend so much time at the jails and working with these kids and working with the young men in our neighborhood. I had two or three of them in my office over the last two or three days. And it's amazing how they just... They are very clingy because of what they didn't have. One of them, the young guy off the street, I think he's 24, 25. He's starting to call me Pop now. And that means something. You know, he's identifying with something that he wishes he had. And so I allow him to do it. You know, I don't have a problem with it, but it just speaks to the larger issue that there are so many fatherless young men out there. When he got a job and stopped, you know, hustling on the street, he couldn't wait to call me and tell me he had a legitimate job. And that again said something. He couldn't say it because we were on the phone, but it brought a tear to my eye. Not that he got the job, but that he had nobody else to tell that to but me, that would be excited about that fact. So it's that kind of stuff that kind of gets me up in the morning, no matter how bad the world gets. You know, that's the assignment that God has given me, and that's what I intend to fulfill.
That is awesome. And it's so evident in everything that you do. It's evident in, I watch you with the young people, particularly with the young men, and how you engage with them. And honestly, you know, your body language changes too. So I had this image in my head of like, this is Pastor Jones, and this is Pastor Jones with the boys. Right? And so
you know, it's funny. It's very funny you say that, because somebody said that about me about a year ago when we were at the jail and we were preparing for a basketball game with the boys. Now, I don't play basketball. I mean, I'm you know, I'm kind of the manager type guy, you know, and so I bring the team, they play and the boys play, and I interact with all of them. But one guy said, he said, you know, you're really different at church. He says, you walk around at church and, you know, but when you get up here, you know, we see you in sweats and a t-shirt and you're relaxed and you're laughing with the kids and, you know, and I'm like, yeah, two totally different environments, you know. But I will say the other thing about it, some people may not know, and I should bring this up, is that, you know, I have worked with girls too. And people don't know that, but my first real job was working with 13 adolescent females in a residential setting in a place called Carson Valley School.
Wow.
And so I really have a really, you know, deep passion for the girls who also were not properly fathered and mothered at times. Yeah. And I don't make a big deal of it, but sometimes the girls that I had, I left Carson Valley to come to Bible Way. So, but some of those girls who were teenagers then, who are now grown and have their own children, I get calls from them too. And some of them still call me dad, and they have children and they bring their children to the church to see me and stuff. So, while I'm probably more known for working with the young men, I have a really deep concern for the young ladies as well. And there's a whole bunch of them that I worked with over the course of my time at Carson Valley.
That's really, really beautiful. And because I think, to your point, you said something about gifting and that when someone gives you a gift, they expect you to use it, right? And I've been thinking a lot about that to not use one's gift is that, particularly God-given gifts, is an insult to the giver.
Right.
You know, just like if someone were to present you a gift and you threw it away, you're right. Like, oh, thanks. Right. And then threw it away. It's such an insult. And so for you to use your gift in our community, and if we were all to use the gifts that we have been given, I think we would solve all the problems that we actually have in our communities, in our world. And so it's so great to hear you say all of that. You know, I've been watching you for quite a long time now, and I just really appreciate your vulnerability. I appreciate your guidance. I appreciate your leadership. And I appreciate that as you grow and expand and your thoughts expand, that you then share those thoughts and expansions with your community, the community, mm-hmm. whether it's the church or the young people. And so I honor you, my king. And I just pray that God will continue to grow and deepen you, and that your epic dream will absolutely be a dream come true, because we need it, and it will be incredible and fantastic. And I'll be on the sidelines cheering, because that
is thank you.
Really amazing. Absolutely.
And thank you. I'm working on it.
Awesome. That is awesome. So thank you so much. And you stay right there, because thank you for joining us. I hope that you were as enlightened and learned as much as I did during this interview. And if there is a king in your life, a Black man in your life who is positive and successful, and that you want to see highlighted and uplifted in this forum, please click the link below or in my bio, or DM me and I'll take it from there. Now, I should say, when I say successful, I don't mean by what someone does for a living. I actually don't care what they do for a living. I mean, as long as it's legal, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But what I'm really more interested in is the content of their character and how they are making an impact in their community, be it the nuclear family or the larger community writ large, and everything in between. And so we are one man at a time trying to change this narrative, because I know what it's like to have been fathered by a great Black man, and to see my brother, and to see the so many people, my pastor, so many men in my community. And I want other people to hear and see and know this incredibly rich community that we have. So with that, I ask you to remember to spread love and have a great day. Thanks so much. And thank you, Pastor Jones. That was awesome.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. You. I appreciate you too, sir.
King Crush Thursday is produced by Val Gay for Ithan & Lloyd LLC. Copyright 2024. Check out the video of this interview on youtube.com/Val Gay. And while you're there, like,
comment, subscribe, and share.
Also grab your King Crush Thursday limited edition merch at kingcrushthursday.com. Bye.